microphone. He looks down at her notes briefly.
Just before you start talking, the power goes out again. And again, there's a few murmurs. And it's a little longer this time. It's like 5 seconds instead of like 2 seconds. And then it comes back on and people are murmuring again. And I don't think it's too hard to get them under control, but like that is the vibe that you're starting with.
Yeah. And I think Tiffany will even just say candidly into the microphone, well, that was weird.
Vienna's walking off stage.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. Sorry for the confusion. I thought there was clearly a mix-up. My name is Tiffany Aramis, and I am here as a representative speaking on behalf of the refugees displaced by the storm. One of the outsiders that Aaron hates so much. And she'll just give some approximation of a winning smile.
Aaron completely ignoring you.
Oh, yeah, of course. The last few weeks have been trying for us all, though we are grateful for the opportunity we've had to work together to try to build something in the face of all of our losses. Before I get too far into things, though, perhaps I should tell you a little bit more about myself, since I only recognize a few faces in this crowd. I was born and raised in the same community currently sheltered in the caves beneath Fainzon. But I did spend 5 years studying meteorology at TMU with a focus on storm systems before the collapse of the Synergic Precincts. While there, in addition to my studies, I learned a great deal about how living in a city works as opposed to always being on the road. It was a wake-up call. It was strange. So chaotic, yet coherent. Everything's crammed together so tightly, but it works. I was an outsider then. I didn't understand, and only over several years did I really start to appreciate how this all can work. And then I learned a lot about systems. It was my area of study, after all. And while no analogy can ever be perfect, storm systems map surprisingly well to a society. Both are deeply chaotic, with any of a million things affecting what's going on so profoundly that it rapidly becomes impossible to predict with anything approaching certainty. Yet people try to predict. No, people need to predict anyway. And in the attempt, we find some ways. Both are wild, untamable, but not uninfluenceable. And perhaps most importantly, both are profound, terrifying, and beautiful. When working to predict storm systems, it is necessary to gather unfathomable amounts of data in order to build a model that can come close to being useful. But in addition to that, you also need to figure out what information you don't need. It is not possible to process every piece of information, so you learn what is necessary, what is helpful, and what can be excised. It always comes with a cost, but not all information is equal. You pare away until you're left with the most critical. I know that was a lot about storms, but I promise you this applies here too. You can never be certain of what will happen or when, but some things can be all but guaranteed through simple cause and effect. If there isn't enough food, there will be unrest. If people feel unheard, they will shout louder. If people are pushed, some will push back. The specifics vary, but we know this. We've seen it just a few years ago. For the time being, we all have enough. We're all suitably fed. There's water. The roofs over our heads are mostly intact, and what few holes were punched by that storm are rapidly getting fixed. I worry that won't always be the case. Food isn't being grown at nearly the amounts the city needs. And while we brought food and hoped to trade, our supplies were devastated in the storm. There are only a few months of supplies remaining. Think about it. How could there be more? And I'm sure there are reports to back that up. Reports that we'll never get to see because it isn't politically expedient for us to see them. Water is all right, but raw materials aren't being procured or processed the way they used to be. Again, we brought a great deal, but we ran afoul of that terrible storm. We all did. For 2 weeks it raged, and that certainly didn't help our food supplies or trade. So now here we all are, in the same boat. And that storm. Perhaps true preparedness could never have been possible, but preparation was clearly not a priority. I'm grateful I met Gish, Leloid, and Frin, for without them and their magnificent tree, I don't know if there would be a single one of us here today. Everyone in this room was saved. My entire people, and then this whole city for good measure. If I had not met them when I did, I shudder to consider what would have happened. The cause of the storm has been the subject of rumors lately. I cannot say for certain why it came on so suddenly, nor can I explain why it persisted for as long as it did. But I've heard rumors. And I can tell you that in my opinion as a meteorologist, it does seem to have some merit, that the notion that things were at least exacerbated, if not outright caused, by the former Archite Archibald, utilizing old synergic technology well beyond anyone's comprehension. I do not know the nature of this technology, but the disastrous consequences of using it in ignorance cannot be denied. It was so strange. It came on so suddenly and lasted for so long. If not for our tree-faring friends, we would have had no warning at all. And that cannot be allowed to stand. We have the capacity to know so much more. We had more information, better tools, just a few years ago. And I know that day-to-day concerns occupy our minds, but a lack of preparation almost meant the end of Fines-On. Short-sightedness, self-interest, hasty action. These are the building blocks of our predicament. None of us can continue to let them run rampant. A plan is needed. We heard from Aaron about perhaps what comes next, but not much in the way of details. Just a lot of posturing and finger-pointing. People looking to place blame rather than find the way forward. What is the point? Who benefits from unrest? It only benefits opportunists. And so it seems Aaron has set out to manufacture some, that he might quell it. It may make people feel a little better in the short term, but it won't count for much when you're left with an empty belly for the third day in a row. We need plans. We need action. I liked much of what Leanne was saying, but again, I didn't hear plans. I didn't hear action. I do not know who would be best suited to taking charge and leading this fine city, but I know who I represent. My people are a strong and hardy lot, well accustomed to the road. While we've lost much in these past weeks, that knowledge, that familiarity, that drive to keep moving can never be lost. This city needs trade, and we are born traders. We are not possessed of the resources we need for all of us to set out once again on the road as a whole. But if you'd be willing to grant us the minimum amount we need to send out a few hundred or even a couple thousand in trade caravans to more prosperous, more fertile settlements, in exchange we can guarantee good prices and better access. Enough to eat and get by for the foreseeable future while sufficient means of production might be secured. Trade, proactively pursued to ensure the stability of Fines-On, with the aid of people already present in this city right now, experts, knowledgeable of how to go about this. I'll admit I have some other ideas for what might be done to improve production as well, but that would require considerably more cooperation and coordination, so rather than getting into that at this time, I would like to say that this offer to form a network of nomadic trade is, I believe, all of our best bet, not just to survive, but to find a way to genuinely thrive in these troubled times. We may have different backgrounds, but this might just be our means to move forward. We bring knowledge of trade and travel, and you bring a place to operate from, a home, a footing, while we find our way back with knowledge of construction, logistics, and organization. Cooperation is key. That's the thrust of it, really. United we stand, divided we fall. Not unlike the words Aaron said, but all of us, not just this isolationist, insular notion of who we might be. All of us can stand together. The time has come to put aside our differences, to stop posturing and posing, the meaningless attempts at saving face, vying for the top spot. All this work to find the next leader, who does it serve? It serves whomever is chosen and their closest allies, no doubt. But what good will it do them? Having the highest spot when the ship goes down just means you're the last to drown. maybe they can find a way out, but not everyone, and probably not you. We must work together to make it through this. Yes, that of course means filling the position. I like Leanne's notion. It sounds lovely. Everyone has a say, and maybe that's something that we might want to work towards, but now isn't the time. We're in crisis, and we cannot reinvent the wheel at this moment. Think about who you're choosing and what they hope to accomplish when you do. I hope at the end of all this, we can work together properly. As the old saying goes, we'll all hang together, or we'll hang separately. And I know we have what it takes to make it through this. Please, prove that right. Thank you.
Roll perceive.
Perceive? Interesting.
Yeah. Take a plus one.
Okay. Position?
It's controlled great.
Controlled great. Okay, I get a plus one. I would like to push myself with a poison promise. Or a bonus die from a poison promise, actually.
Yeah. Your poison promise is that Lael is going to come on stage and try and rip the microphone out of your hand. Or not even try. Rip it out of your hand. You're done, but like is going to take it away from you.
For sure. All right.
And slander you a little bit. Nice.
That's a hell of a six.
Hell of a six. So it's 6, 5, 2, and 2. All right. So a couple things happen. Lael gets on stage, rips the mic out of your hand, and starts to say, like, that wasn't brief, da-da-da-da-da. Vian's not here to, like, stop you, so you got to talk as long as you wanted. But what you perceive, you can totally ignore Lael. There are people already clapping, drowning him out, and he's trying to badmouth you. And some people, you know, he gets some people, for the most part, you got it. But the thing with that six is there's a couple people here who I think started clapping and even cheering in a way that, you know, there's Ida and Mads and Anya and Frin and Argus who are here who can all clap and cheer as much as you as they want. But the thing that you notice is that there's a slowly growing crowd near the front door, and there's especially one person who's jumping up and down and clapping and cheering. This small person, bouncy, muscular, thin woman with pale skin tone. She has like sandy undertones and like a dark brown hair tied up in a top knot that comes down to her waist in a braid. She's like a diamond face with like soft features, large doughy eyes, and like an infectious smile. She's wearing like a mid-length sleeve crop top that flares out into a popped up collar around her neck. And a deep V cut in the front. And she's wearing like a dozen or more bracelets that make like jingling when she moves. It's very pleasant, but like you can only really hear it once the noise dies down, but it's just whenever she's moving. And her baggy pants cut off just past the knee, and she's not wearing any shoes. And there's just a stranger. And the other thing is people just keep filing in behind her. There's just, like, more and more people who are filing in at the back of the room. Lael's still berating you. Who cares?
Yeah, it seems no one's paying any attention to him.
There are some people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're getting applause, you're getting cheering. Obviously, Aaron and Leanne, I think Aaron and Leanne are actually arguing.
That makes sense.
They're not loud about it, and even if they were, there's cheering. You can't hear them. But that's what's happening. Does anyone do anything while the applause is happening?
I'm up on stage, so I'm out.
Great.
No.
I don't think Anya would let them berate Tiffany. I don't think that she'd rush the stage or anything, but I think like she'd be shouting in support, like calling out the hypocrisy and...
Do you keep going even when it starts to get quiet?
I think yes. Not realizing it got as quiet as it did. Still loud, but like loud enough to be heard. Anya yells, being xenophobic isn't an excuse for being an empty person.
And like a couple things that happen. You're shouting this and people hear that. turn to you, Lael stops and is like pulled in a couple directions. One, I think, just walks off in the next moment, but is like looking at you, looking at Tiffany, looking in the back of the room, because everyone stopped clapping except for this one person who's still just like jumping up and down and cheering just by herself.
If he's looking distracted, can I grab the mic back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of big talk, Lyle, but you are the one with most of the resources. And can we see those reports?
Yeah. Woo! You just like hear it. Like she's still going. Lyle is just going to brush you off, like hand above shoulder, like whatever.
I think everyone would like to see them.
Oh, he's gone. He's leaving. Yeah. He's ignoring you. No, yeah. You can keep saying things to him. You have a mic.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone, so I'm not.
Great, no, you're just on stage with a mic. There's no one else on stage but you.
Hello, in the back. You seem very enthusiastic.
Yeah, she like waves with both of her arms just like at you. There's still people filing in. It's almost 100 people at this point. Who are just like filing in the corner. She points at herself and like me, you know, doesn't say anything, but just like very obviously like hand raised, pointing at self with the other hand, puzzled look.
I mean, if she's presumably the room has mostly gone quiet at this point, so it's mostly just her
making a whole bunch of noise. Talking to her across the room with a mic.
Why don't you come up here for a second?
She does like a little happy dance, like jogging in, you know, like a little jog in place happy dance. And she like, what she does is she runs through the crowd, but how she does it is she like jumps on one of the tables, jumps to another one, leaps, twirls, goes between two people in the crowd, and then backflips on stage. And she's beside you. And she like holds out her hand as if to like shake your hand.
I will shake her hand.
Big smile. Big handshake. Just like the really exaggerated high energy handshake.
It's nice to make your acquaintance.
It's nice to make yours. That was amazing. Where did you learn to speak like that?
Nowhere.
Wow, you're really cool. Did you mean everything you said?
Of course. Why would I say it otherwise?
I love that. Some people lie, and that's not very good, though.
Well, yes, I agree there. Sorry, you are...
She doesn't have a mic, but I think to you, so I think she's just speaking at a normal volume now. She's just like, oh, I'm Nara.
I think I'm holding the mic kind of, like, whenever I'm not speaking, I'm holding it out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. I'm Nara.
And what brings you here today? That was quite the entrance.
Yeah. Can I introduce everyone?
Please do.
She's going to try and take the mic from you. Not like forcefully, just like you're holding it out. She's going to go to take it.
Yeah, I will relinquish it. It's a risk, but I'll do it.
Yep. You release the control of the mic. You see at the back now, there's like sort of like single files of people who are all dressed in not the same clothing, but there's like a little bit of color coordination, but they don't look like they're wearing fancy clothing. Honestly, they look a little weathered. I think she's just like twirling, jumping around as she's like speaking, and she just goes, all right, hi. This place is really breathtaking, and I'm, like, so excited to meet everyone. You all look so pretty. So, I'm Nara. I'm from the Choristers of Wind and Tide. I just wanted to say, like, we like to travel and sing to brighten people's day, and everyone here just seemed, like, a little down for some reason. So, you know, before Anemon and Pyleria arrive, I'd love for us to show you what we can do. And I just want to say that if you like what you hear, everyone has an open invitation to join us when we leave. We probably won't stick around for long. We're just here to help whoever gets Anemon and Pyleria's blessing. And whoever you are, I'm so excited to meet you. Actually, this is great. I can see we have others who are blessed. What's your name? She points at you, Argus.
Argus. Argus Sandsailor?
Can you help out with the blessing?
How?
Just like use your blessing and like we'll help each other out.
I don't have a blessing. What do you mean?
Well, what about you? Points at Anya.
No response, just sort of watching.
What's your name?
I'm Anya. Hi.
Aw, you're so cute. Aw.
You're so cute. Thank you.
Hand under chin, like other mic up to her mouth. Thanks.
What do you mean by blessing? And who's Anamon and
Anamon and Pyleria?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're gonna be our guests, silly. You know what I'm talking about, right? And now she's pointing at Ida, who looks in either direction, stunned at being pointed out and singled out as well.
I'm going to try and take the microphone back.
She's not letting you at this point.
Excuse me, you're being quite rude right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to put on a little show. Can I introduce everyone? Now, I promise I won't bug your friends anymore.
This is it was until very recently a closed event.
Oh. So we can't perform?
Well, the hosts are not currently in attendance, so it's hard to say, really.
Great. Then everyone please put your hands together for the Choristers of Wind and Tide, completely ignoring you. She's going to start cheering and clapping. People are not cheering and clapping. There's like a couple people who are like clapping confused. And that's when people start like walking through the crowd single file from the back of the room.
I think Anya does a confused clap like.
They are going to get on stage. They're a choir. They're gonna start singing.
That's very odd.
Yes, it is. Tiffany and they're gonna sing for a little bit.
Yeah. Tiffany will stand off to the side, but will try to still be on stage, trying to be visible since the hosts have not formally retaken authority. Like, just fully abdicating her presence feels like the wrong course of action.
Yeah, it's been like 6 to 10 minutes at this point, and like Vianne's still not back. Beatrice didn't come back. Gish didn't come back. Bellamy didn't come back. I mean,
six
also
to
like
ten minutes
Lan
of
left.
Singing?
Sorry,
or six to 10 minutes since the speech ended, or 6 to 10 minutes of singing specifically
since Vianne left.
Oh, okay,
probably more at this point. Really, think about how long I was talking, and now how long this conversation's been.
Yeah, it's been a while, and they're just gonna sing. It's gonna be like, I don't know. You have like 5 to 10 minutes before like they're done the first song. Do you all just listen? They're good at what they do.
I am. Some of my companions might be going and doing things, but I'm still in a public position.
Great.
Yeah. I think after the first song, Anya claps and cheers. And if it looks like they're going to like launch into another one, she might like hesitate and look at Tiffany, like, do you need help with, like, getting control of the situation again?
Yeah, Ida's come up to the stage and is, like, also, like, trying to make eye contact with you.
I mean, Tiffany's looking at her friends because attention's not really on her right now, but to leave the stage would be, I think, the wrong course of action. So she's just kind of looking a little lost and is shrugging, like, okay.
Argus, what are you doing?
I'll watch the choir. I'm trying to figure out what the deal is here, if I can investigate further, try to figure out.
Interesting.
What are the lyrics?
That's like in a language you don't understand. You know when like choirs will sing in Latin and it's like you know that they're singing words, but you can't really understand what they're saying? Well, I can't understand what they're saying because they're singing in Latin. I'm sure people who understand Latin can understand what they're saying.
Yeah, no, but it's identifiable as a hymn, I guess.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Okay. I think then no one likes when religious folks hijack an event. So I think Anya would like walk up to the stage as well and be like, Could you tell us more about... I think this might not be the time, but that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you performing here later? Or, like, are you...
We're performing now.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be too long now. They're almost here.
Sure, but I don't know if this is the right time for hymns. It's just this was an event some people were throwing for a different purpose. And I'm sure that if we wait and put together something, people would love to hear the rest of your choir songs.
I think people have, like, cleared out in terms of, like, you can't really... I mean, you could dance to choir. Most people are, like, sitting down now. So, like, it is... there are people watching, but it is a much emptier area of standing as you're saying this to her. And she's looking at what... She's, like, listening to you and hearing what you're saying. And she's like, oh, are you not... Is this not... You don't like this?
Oh, it's fine. It's just there was something already happening. So I don't mean to say it's wrong. I just it might not be what people were hoping the event to continue as.
Oh, not that, I don't think the event would continue even if we weren't here.
What do you mean?
Well, Anemone and Pyleria are almost here.
Again, I don't know who those people are. And
Tiffany
are
is whispering with Ida quite actively, but we'll get to that in a second.
Are they your leaders?
No, they're the wind and the tide.
What do you mean the wind and the tide?
At that, something's going to happen, but let's jump over to the conversation between Tiffany and Ida. What are you saying, Tiffany?
Pretty early into the first song, Tiffany is saying to Ida, I think something's about to happen. This probably has to do with the strange path of transcendence that we saw heading in our direction.
Yeah. Do you think, how did she single everyone out? It's her?
It might be her. She's talking about Anemone and Pyleria. And
who is that?
I don't know. We're hearing a devotional. There's weird stuff going on. Talked about blessings. This feels storm related.
Yeah.
So, be very careful. Be ready.
Should you be up there? I'll come up there with you.
No, can you go grab Argus and tell him we need somebody looking for Ish and...
I'm not leaving you here alone.
I appreciate that. Really? A lot. And I'm glad. If you could ask Argus to maybe look for them and then you can come back here. Because Argus is just over there.
Ida looks really anxious. What if you came to?
Sure, I don't think anyone's paying attention to me right now anyway.
She is gonna, like, lift you off the stage, essentially.
Oh!
Or you could, like, jump down into her arms or something. She's, like, trying to get you down as fast as possible.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Great. She's just holding you for a second, like, in the air, blushes, and then puts you down gently.
Right, another time. Okay, Argus.
And you both go over to Argus.
Temporary gay panic followed by...
Yeah.
Followed by normal panic.
When a pretty girl picks you up without even noticing how, like, what that is, that's gay panic right there.
Argus is just sitting down, like, watching the choir, kind of mesmerized by it when you come up to him.
Wow. Fully checked out.
Argus?
Are you hearing this?
Remember what I said? Yeah. Remember what I said about how someone maybe transcended and Stormblooded was on their way to find Zaun?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think this is related.
Oh, wow. Shit.
I think we should find Gish and V&V.
Yeah, he stands up. Like, can I do, like, a quick check or anything? Like, do I get... I don't know what kind of role this would be, but am I getting, like...
Gather information?
Yeah. Am I getting vibes?
From who? From what?
From the choir. Like, am I getting, like...
Does the choir seem DTF?
Storm vibes or something. No, like...
The whole damn choir.
Is there magic going on?
Damn, Argus. Wow, you're really going for it. Let's make... So you're trying to discern something.
Like the wind and tide,
I imagine... Are you trying to figure out if you know of them?
I want to know if they feel similar to either the transcendent powers we have or like the storm... magic, so to speak, the energy of the storm kind of thing. Like, it's a real vibe check for, is this supernatural kind of...
How are you doing this?
Like, just listening, like, trying to listen to the music and see if I can intuit something deeper from it, or like...
I think that's analyze.
Analyze, sure. Controlled? Risky?
What's the consequence of this? Risky, limited, I think.
Yeah, it is very just kind of...
Yeah, you're just kind of listening to music and trying to put together if there's powers there.
Yeah.
You could have a poison promise.
Nah,
you
just rolling.
Okay, well, all right.
That's a three, so
that's
nothing.
A three. It's great music, and I think the risky consequence, is that, like, there's something about the music that, like, really drowns out Ida and Tiffany's voice.
Sure. He just keeps...
Tiffany, Argus is
listening
doesn't
to
seem
it.
Like
he just keeps,
he's
yeah.
listening anymore, yeah.
Argus.
Okay, yes, whatever,
we,
yeah.
We need your
yeah.
help.
Oh, let's, yeah, totally. What are we... He'll just follow you or something. Like, he's not really.
You're like dissociating now, essentially.
Yeah.
We need to find Gish and V&V and get some semblance of control here.
Right. And where are they? Oh, we don't know where they are. Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's do
you
that.
You okay?
No, I. Aren't you hearing this? It's... What is the wind and the tide? What is...
Well, it sounds kind of stormy.
Yeah. I He's just not being helpful at all. at least for a little bit. And then at some point, I'm sure he'll recover some awareness. Maybe once the song ends or something, if that sounds reasonable.
So are you staying there for the whole song up until Anya... you know, has the conversation? Where are you when Anya has this conversation?
So it seems Anya is engaging. So I will try and signal to Anya that we're going to be doing something. We're going to go off and look.
I think Anya looks at you confused and is like, is something wrong? Like, obviously this is weird, but like, they seem like nice people.
Yeah, Tiffany will go over to Anya quickly and just say, something weird and maybe stormy is going on. We're going to go look for V&V and Gish.
Okay.
And that, I guess that explains why Anya, you know, interrupts partially. Or, you know, mm-hmm. Anya has their own reasons. But so the three of you are going to head out. Where do you make it in like a minute?
Argus, you spent some time backstage, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How do we get back there?
We head right, and then through the green room where we just were, and then we keep going through the room, and we'll get there.
So we'll get towards backstage in a minute, I think.
So all of you are going to the green room?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're like in the green room at that point, and this is when you have your conversation, Anya. At this point, you were saying like, oh, like, who is that? You know, Nara wasn't making sense. And I think at that point, she's just like, oh, they're here. This is unexpected. And she's interrupted. She goes stiff and tears start to stream out of her eyes. But it keeps going. It increases and increases, and the tears begin to turn into streams of silvery water that expand and quickly and completely engulf her in an opaque orb of light. And then a moment later, the orb is vivisected from the inside and splashes apart. Nara is now standing there in a similar V-cut crop top, but it now has tassels. And instead of her pants, she's wearing a shimmery skirt that sparkles like the surface of water on a sunny day. She's also holding a dagger that at first seems translucent, but Anya, you realize it's made of ice. And she looks in awe at herself, at what she's wearing and the dagger in her hand. And then she starts looking around the room as if like looking for someone. And she's just like talking to herself as she's looking around. Anemone? Pyleria, is that you? Which of you has... What? I don't understand, I... And she clutches her chest as if in pain. And you see that where she's gripping, the energy, as she is transcended, coming off of her, where her fist is, begins to turn red and spread as if flowing outward from her hand until the aura around her is entirely red. And her skirt also turns from a silvery sunny sheen to the red of water on the night of a blood moon. Her fist relaxes back at her side and her face looks muted. You notice a fog begins to roll off of her and begins to crawl along the floor like dry ice. And you see those closest to her already look like they're in some sort of trance, just as Mads did back in the forest. And in that same instant, she throws her dagger at you, Anya.
Oof.
Damn, okay.
My new friend is mean.
She thought you were so pretty. Tiffany and Ida and Argus, for a second, as you go into the green room, you can hear a very staticky, not super clear version of what happens. You just hear like the anime, Pyleria, is that you? Which of you has what? I don't understand. And then nothing. And actually, I think at that, it's just static. It's just like it turns into a like static noise.
I think Tiffany's going to try and poke her head out from backstage, like run backstage and find an opening to look what's going on stage.
Yeah, same.
All right, you're running backstage. Before you get to the backstage, you find Leanne in the backstage in the corner. If you just run past her.
No, I will stop to attend to her. But I might gesture for Argus to keep
going. Yeah, keep going.
Because we need to know what's going on out there well.
Fair enough. Well, it's going to take you some time to get to the backstage. So let's stick with Tiffany and Ida for a little bit. She's, Leanne's just like curled up in the corner. Honestly, I'm going to put her right in the corner. And she's just like in a ball. Like, not
belongs.
On her side, just like hugging her legs.
I will try to get down on her level and be like, hey, are you hurt?
I don't know. Ida looks at you. I don't know if Ida's very good at this either.
Yeah. Okay. That was a beautiful speech. Nice to hear some convictions.
She, lifts her head out from, like, her legs, like, hiding it. Her face is just red, like, puffy tears.
Ida, do you wanna... Never mind. She was going to say, do you wanna go support Argus? But there was absolutely zero chance Ida would do that, so...
I think Ida does just raise an eyebrow at you.
Turning my attention back to Leanne, that's her name, right? Do you want to... Weird things are going on. Do you want to maybe come with us?
As you say weird things are going on, I think that's when you start to hear the screaming of the people in the crowd. And we'll jump back over to Anya.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, Anya, Nara has thrown an ice dagger at you. It is coming your direction. You are not far away. So, you have a second to react.
Anya dives out of the way to the left.
Do you just... Okay. It's gonna hit someone else.
Oh, it is? Oh, no.
Then yeah, there's Anya's a crowd of people.
Anya's gonna transcend and immediately smash the ice dagger into the ground.
Nice. People gasp as you do that, and I think that's when you start to notice the people near Nara, she's just emanating this like red energy and this red haze, and you hear Mads in the shakiest voice just be like, "No, not again." And like this fog is coming towards all of you relatively quickly. Everyone in the front row in front of you is starting to just like zone out.
I think, okay, so to describe the transcendence, it's just a fist at first punching the dagger out of the air, and then it spreads to the rest of Anya's body. And seeing that fog begin to spread out, Anya's going to try and contain it, similar to the attempt with Ida when Ida was transcending. So, yeah, tries to spread that force field bell around the emanation coming from this strange being.
Okay, and this is, it's already, like, it's like a fog, so, like, one, it's a gaseous material.
Yeah.
Two, yeah. This is going to be a desperate limited, to say.
No,
because
that makes sense.
If you don't do that, if you don't do that and you are spending time standing there, you're going to get caught in it.
That is A-okay, as it feels accurate.
Right.
I think it's like trying to stop more from spreading out. And yeah, I think at the same time, Anya's going to, in using inseparable, oh no, sorry, not inseparable. What is it? Perfect pitch is going to shout to Tiffany and Argus and Ida and Frin, right? So these are allies.
Yeah, I mean, Frin's right beside you.
Everyone get out.
Ooh, all right. You shout, everyone get out, and you try and contain the fog that is already spreading, which means you're containing some people. Like, some people are already in the fog, so you have to leave them in the bubble that you're making. Just to be clear.
Yeah,
I want you to understand what you're doing.
I think Anya's trying to, like, bisect the fog that's been spread out. So, stopping the point of origin rather than trying to contain everything as a whole, hoping that some of that fog dissipates. Yeah, that feels more like what would make sense.
Yeah, it makes sense that you would try to do that. I think if you did that, you'd still get hit. But I would give you the success if you succeed anyways. So you'd be vulnerable, but there would be something in place temporarily holding this person. Probably.
Yeah, I'm going to spend one link with Argus to reduce two stress. And then I'm going to push I'm going to push myself.
Okay, all right. So you take that stress back. It sounds like what you're doing, I mean, a lot of your abilities is like flow, as far as I understand, or defy. Actually, this does feel like defy. So, I mean, it's the same number, but it is like you are facing it head on.
Yeah.
All right. That is a limited, mixed success on a limited desperate roll. So you didn't fail the desperate roll. Actually, is it every time you make a desperate roll? It's every time you make a desperate roll. Mark XP in Sun, because you use Defy. And, I mean, what I described happens is you make this bubble. Argus, do you listen and leave, or do you go through the curtains?
I go through the curtains, but I would also like to transcend and kind of try to stealthily get to, or like sneak up on Nara.
Well, I'll give you a moment to do that, but I think what you see, you open the curtains and you see Anya's bubble is containing Nara, who is like lifted off the ground now and is like hovering. And there's just this like pouring of fog that's like filling this bubble like more and more. And it's becoming like more and more opaque as like it has more and more fog in it. And the other thing you see is all of your allies in the front row, which is Mads, Anya, and Frin, as well as people that you're maybe not so close with, such as Leanne, Lael, and Aaron. Almost all the choristers and anyone in the front row have just zoned out. They've just gone into like a trance. This is exactly what happened to Mads in the forest. But you can see like the fog is dissipating, and so no one further than that is getting affected, but they've already been hit. There is still the fog that's like vaguely coming towards you, so you have to like stop and let it dissipate for a second, but you're not being affected.
Okay. Could I gather some information right now or something?
Yeah.
Or I could just act, but it seems like we have a second while Nara is contained.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing to gather that information, really?
This is tough. I mean, he didn't see anything happen, so I guess he doesn't, like, he wouldn't really know the order of events, like, when people got hypnotized versus when Nara transcended, right? But he just knows that Anya is telling him to run. Maybe I don't want to gather information.
Is Anya also, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I'm zoned out, yes?
You've been zonked.
Yeah, we'll get to you in a sec.
Oh, Anya is zonked.
I just wanted to make sure of that.
Can I see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anya, yeah, you can see, like, you can see through the bubble that Anya's, it's translucent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, it's becoming more and more opaque, and I think Nara has swung around to face you, and you just see, like, this muted expression that just wasn't, what she looked like at all. Like, when you left the room.
Yeah, she's... okay, so I'm getting a good indication that she is likely the root of some of the things that are happening right now.
Oh, 100%. And you see Anya has now been made defenseless. And Nara tries to throw a dagger at you, and you see it hits Anya's bubble. And you see just the smallest, just the tiniest little nick in this bubble.
Well, then I would just like to run headlong at Nara.
Okay, towards the bubble.
So wait. Sorry, is this bubble is encasing both?
Is just Nara,
but Anya is incapacitated and not in a bubble.
Yeah, anyone who was hit with this fog, which is now like evaporated enough where it's not affecting anyone further, but anyone already hit with it is zoned out.
Got it. And you're saying the bubble is impenetrable?
Well, I mean,
if there's a crack in it.
It's keeping her in, but there is now, like, you're seeing that she will eventually get out. It's going to take her some time.
Okay.
Does that make things easier? That visualization?
Yes. Like, thank you. That is accurate.
Thank you. I was a little bit confused.
That's also what I was asking about, like, the zoned out thing was
okay.
Yeah, Rally's drawn a circle around Nara.
Thank you. Okay. In that case, I would go towards Anya, and I will also transcend.
What does it look like when you transcend? In this instance.
I think it's almost more like...
Are you just, like, doing it in motion?
Yeah, he's moving and he's flickering as he moves. It's like he's going forward, and then for a second he, like, skips backwards a second and then is moving forward, you know, like a digital video that's kind of broken. But, like, flickering...
Like when you anime run really fast?
Kind of, yeah. But not just going forward. Like, sometimes, you know, he's, like, going forward 3 steps, and then all of a sudden he's back 1 step, and then he's 4 steps ahead kind of thing. Almost flickering like a light bulb trying to turn on, but it's his transformation as he moves towards Anya, and then once he reaches them, he's gonna try to, I don't know, shake her out of it or something, like
a clock's appeared. Awesome. I love those.
Okay.
All right, so you've run towards Anya.
How do we get people out of... Okay, so when I got Mads out of the kind of...
You didn't.
I didn't? Oh, you're right.
I mean, you did 3 months later.
Yes,
but
you're right.
You went into the
That took a while.
Dream.
That was not an immediate one, like with them.
Yeah, this is why Mads is so traumatized.
Yeah.
And she didn't run? Girl, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, she tried to, but she was traumatically frozen in place.
No. Can I try to just take Anya with me? I don't know. Can I move her?
Just pick Anya up and run? Just Anya?
Well,
no one else?
Oh, I guess I'm super now. Can I carry? How many people could I carry reasonably?
I'll let you carry 3 people.
3 people? Amazing.
Yeah, you're really strong and you're transcended. I'll give you 3 people. Though, I mean, you don't have to, you know, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do, but you do have fucked up time powers.
Yeah. Removing people from the flow of time, that is...
Risky.
It's risky, but I would have to be pushing myself while doing another... Because when it says when you push yourself, you can gain additional benefits, but it's like I got to have a primary move and then I would gain that additional benefit. Is that right?
Yeah. So you would be making the roll and pushing yourself. And when you push yourself, that's what you're doing with that pushing yourself. But it's like in addition. So you'd get the effect or extra die and you'd also get one of these things.
Okay. In that case, I would pick up who I could and then... Like, definitely would want to pick up Anya, but then some people, like, maybe... So, Anya, Frin, and Mads are right beside each other, it looks like, here. So that is 3 people.
Yeah, Lloyd and Reinhold are going to start running up.
Okay, and they're not messed up?
No, because they were far enough back.
Could tell them to take the 3 out of there.
Yeah.
And then we can deal with Nara. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll go great.
Can I
I'm
recruit
sure I
them
will not
to...
be a liability for you.
Can I recruit them to pick them up and maybe I'll really want to take Anya out of this, but...
You could trust that Anya will snap out of it and have them take Frin and Mads.
Yeah.
You gotta do something.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this entire time as you're thinking, Nara's just been throwing and summoning ice daggers at... Oh, actually...
Is this diegetic or non-diegetic time in terms of, like, what is seen?
I mean, it's non-diegetic, but at a certain point when
you start
be
to,
like, I gotta keep things moving.
Absolutely.
I think that's fair. I just also want to give Lou time to figure out what feels like it would be appropriate for Argus as a character.
Mm-hmm. It's, yes, thank you.
But that entire time, that is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that happening by the time he like runs to Anya, that, like, you know, Nara is still trying to escape. And Reinhold and Lloyd come over. So he'll yell to...
I don't even know if Nara's trying to escape. Nara's just throwing daggers at you. Like, when you move,
but she's in
the aim changes.
But she's in the bubble, so she can't?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they keep breaking against the bubble.
Yeah. I'll tell Reinhold and Lloyd to... pick up Mads and Frin to get out of there. And then I'm going to try to see if I can snap Anya out of it. Even though I know it takes, you know, it usually takes a long time and, you know, meditation and stuff like that. Similarly to the way that knowing that she can communicate with people mentally, like try to star 69, call her back kind of thing while I'm transcended.
Would this count as a group action, by the way?
For what?
In trying to, like, evacuate people and stop the mist from reaching them? Because if so, then synchronized, if I'm involved in a group action, multiple sixes from different roles is a crit success.
I don't know if you are helping with the evacuation.
I mean, stopping the flow, but I do think it is dubious. That's why I asked.
I think, no, the escape attempt is coming after... and I think the stopping the flow is, it's helping, but I don't think it's a group action. Like, it would be the assist role, if anything. But yeah, Argus is going to try and get into Anya's mind, Star 69 style. Yeah. Sounds totally normal. But until then, there is a little bit of time. So, Anya, I want to get to what you're seeing. Anya, what is a memory where you felt intensely alone, isolated, cut off from the world, or misunderstood?
I think misunderstood is what we're going to go with for this one. And it's going to be the first time that Anya was accused of cheating. Specifically because I think it's digging into what's happening right now with Frin and Mads and what was brought up by Ida and Tiffany. And it's feeling misunderstood in being shouted at and accused of hurting someone without understanding why or what the issue was. And this is sort of like the first moment where part of the reason that Anya felt so confused with Mads is Mads has known them for so long that Anya thought Mads would be familiar with what happened this time and how Anya's mind works in general. Similar to how Argus is reacting, right? Where it's like that's just Anya. So yeah, I think it's like the first time that Anya's being yelled at by maybe even like both other people that she was involved with, like gets seen holding hands with someone by the person that she's dating and gets confronted, and the person that she's dating as well also is like, wait, who is this person? And Anya's just confused and like doesn't know what is happening or why people are so upset with them.
Yeah. Except this time, you know exactly why they're upset with you, because now you've been given that context. And now that you're reliving the scene recontextualized, I imagine it's like you understand why they're upset. Mm-hmm. You still don't necessarily have the answer.
I think if anything, it's that feeling of like, I didn't know I was hurting you. I didn't mean to hurt you. And I'm so sorry. This wasn't,
and you're trying to explain this, and they're just not listening.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just say you have magic powers, Argus. I think this is what you show up to. I think you successfully, you just do it. You're there. Anya's not out, but you're in.
Okay.
Your call has been connected.
Horrible dial-up noises, and then I get in.
Stop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good, actually.
Everyone's wincing on the inside of the thing as well. Just what the fuck?
Great. I feel like I'd be very familiar
with
this scene.
We've aged ourselves.
Yeah. He goes, typical. Okay. I feel like because there's quite of a rush, even though we're in kind of a timeless space. Argus is gonna go up, like just try to get into the middle of the scene and like shake Anya, try to connect with her and say, we don't have time for this. We have to get you out of here.
They're so mad at me, and I didn't mean to hurt them. I didn't know that they didn't realize.
Yeah, I know. It happened. It's going to happen. These things.
But
we live and we learn and we do it again. And you're just trust me. This is not something.
Is something wrong with me?
At that, he kind of slows down, and he softens his grip on
people.
You. There's nothing.
And I don't mean to. I just
nothing wrong with you.
Why does the way I love hurt people?
Argus, can you give me a forgive roll?
Oh yeah,
because that sounds what That sounds like what this is. You show that you care for someone despite a mistake that they made. Anya hasn't necessarily done something wrong, but people are hurt and Anya didn't understand why. And you're forgiving. You're like being like, hey, like that does happen. Absolutely. And you're here now. You understand now and you can move forward and explain things better. That feels like forgive to me.
I think he'll bring up like a small saying that maybe we learned as kids in class or maybe from one of our elders kind of. He'll say, you know, the cactus may sting the coyote, but its fruits are still just as sweet.
All right. This is a risky standard.
Risky standard. Easy. I'll push myself.
Yeah, that's fair. You have a zero,
so that's too stressed to push myself. And that gives me an extra die. I am transcended.
All right.
A 4. And it's probably a very silly saying, but it's mostly just trying to bring up a different memory. Try to take Anya somewhere else, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Anya, mechanically, you are a third of the way there, just for, you know, however you play it. But the risky part is, maybe it's obvious, but you're here too. You are undefended in the physical world.
Absolutely.
And maybe that occurs to you.
Yeah.
And the longer you spend here, time here works differently, works weirdly. Maybe it works faster, maybe it works slower. Mm-hmm. But you're keenly aware that time is moving. And you can resist those consequences, especially you who has control of time.
Alternatively, could I use my on the other side of the time move and like slow that down, give us more time in, because I did push myself anyways for this move.
I see. So you're saying you remove Anya from the flow of time?
Yeah, or I guess her experience, so it gives us more time to get extracted without endangering our actual corporeal bodies.
Yeah.
Or however you like to spin that. Like, I'm
thinking of the risky consequence then. Because if that's not the risky consequence, then it's something else.
Could it be that, they try to... go ahead.
I was just going to ask a clarifying question mechanically, which is, if I ask Argus another question, does that move me another third forward?
I mean, it would be rolls. What we're doing is rolls.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
You can roll 2, though. Yeah.
Okay.
But, so the way it works, I don't know if I've ever said this explicitly, but the effect level has an effect on clock filling. So a limited is 1 step. A standard is 2 steps. Great is 3 steps. A crit is 5 steps.
I would like to also note that when you are transcended, you have increased effect level against supernatural opposition.
Yes.
Who? All of us?
Thank you.
When you're transcended, yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's just a flat effect of being transcended.
Oh, did that?
Is that why it's standard and not limited effect?
Yep, because it's transcended versus transcendent.
Thank you.
If you try to do something, Tiffany, good fucking luck.
If? What do you mean, if? When?
You're a little busy right now. Here's what I think happens. I'm going to keep you both safe. So I think that's the thing. But I think when you remove Anya from the flow of time, you're doing it so that you physically disappear from time and space where you are. And you don't know when you're going to be back. So time is going to move forward, but you are physically safe. How does it, like, you and Anya are physically safe? How's that work?
Oh, I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have Ida.
Is that okay, Lou?
Yes.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to give you increased effect from now on, since you are now away, and you're in, like, your own domain, almost.
Okay, then I think, yes, that's great.
So we'll come back to this conversation. I want to jump back over to Tiffany and Ida and Leanne.
So I think the moment screams happen, Tiffany is going to stand up and look towards the stage area, because while helping Leanne is important... trying to figure out why everyone is screaming and running around is maybe more pressing.
So you head towards the stage?
Well, first I will say to Leanne, you should probably get out of here. If you can, come to the caves. I'll talk to you after.
My parents are still in there, though.
I'll see what we can do. I don't know what's going on. But right now, get yourself to safety.
What? But... You know, she's still a bit stunned from everything, and this is just very confusing for her. You can see that she's not processing what you're saying. of like, it's okay. Well, no, but I need to go to my parents, but I can't, like, and it's like a frozen in place thing.
Yeah. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to sort this out. All right. But right now you need to get yourself to safety.
Between you and Ida, I think Ida takes her hand and like between you saying that and like the physical like reconnection to someone, I think she's like spacing out, but she looked like she blinks and looks at you and like wipes her eyes and it's like, oh, okay, what the, I, okay.
It sounds like people are panicking a little bit out there. So if you can get out there and start leading them away, try and make sure it's orderly. People are going to be running. People are going to be panicking. I need you to stand tall and do your best to get people out of here safely, okay?
She like sniffles a little bit and like a little bit of nodding. And then she just like hugs you. You know when you just impact hug someone? Because, wow, someone who is caring. What a shock.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's around your age.
Cool. And how tall is she?
Oh, short. She's short. Very short.
Very short.
She's like
okay.
4 foot. Maybe not 4 foot, but she's like 5 foot, like two.
Okay. So Tiffany's got like a foot on her.
A foot on her, yes.
And so Tiffany will take like 2 seconds to stroke her hair and like hug her back, but we need to move.
She looks...
Come find me in the caves with refugees.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Tiffany.
I'll do my best. I'm Lan.
I know.
You yeah. Okay. Okay.
And she's going to go out the actor's room or the green room.
Yeah.
You hear a voice that is commanding in a way that's still shaky, but is like determined, where you just hear her being like,
all right, everyone, stop. We need to get orderly.
She's like raising her voice for you.
Hopefully that
helps.
What
do you and Ida do?
I mean, make a beeline for the stage and try to see what's going on out there, I think. Like in a dead sprint.
You and Ida get back to the stage. And do you just go right on the stage? There's a curtain between the stage and you.
Oh, yeah. Throw the curtain open.
And you see what I've described already.
Yeah.
And now Nara is throwing daggers at Ida's direction. The bubble's still there, so they're still... like hitting the bubble, but you're starting to see cracks in the bubble.
Oh, and I, of course, don't see Argus or Anya.
You also don't see Frin, Mads, Reinhold, Lloyd. You don't see any of your friends.
Nope. It's just me and Ida.
And people are screaming and running out the front door, pushing each other. But like, you know, you're starting to see, like, this place is clearing out except for everyone who's already dazed.
There is the microphone still on the floor somewhere.
Yeah, it's just like on the floor.
Okay.
It's near Nara, though.
But is it within the bubble?
No, she would have dropped it.
Okay. Tiffany has nothing she can do about Nara, and so she will, before anything else... Well, actually, I'm going to make a gather info check if I can.
Sure.
So would this be perceive, analyze, or am I looking at?
If you're just looking at things, it's perceive.
Cool. Perceive. Position. Desperate.
I'm going to say it's a risky.
Cool.
And are you trying to get information specifically about Nara?
I mean, anything useful, but she is the biggest question mark right now.
All right. It's risky standard.
That's a fail. Yay.
Yeah, that's a 3 and a 2.
So I get one question.
Yes, you do. And then I'm going to do something risky to you. And
beautiful.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Do not be sorry. Ooh, okay. What is Nara really feeling?
Nara is not feeling. There is an absence of person there that you realize she feels exactly the same as everyone else. She's also in a trance.
Yeah, okay.
How are you doing this? You're just like looking around?
Oh yeah, I'm trying to see what's going on. Trying to get some, taking like 2 seconds to look and figure out something, anything, because when I left, there was a choir singing, and I heard some weird comments made from Nara, and now this is what I'm seeing.
Oh, what's more fun? what's more evil?
Do it.
Nara throws an ice dagger, but this time she has 2 daggers. The first one, you see, she throws the dagger, and the dagger explodes, And there's this like particle of red, like it's this, everything's tinted red. So there's this red, watery, shimmery like pool just in the air for a second. And then she throws the other dagger through it and it appears outside the bubble and it starts going towards Ida. Like she's just teleported the dagger and it's flying towards Ida. And Ida holds up her wrist and an iron chain appears there as if she's about to start transcending. But you see the ice shatters and gas splashes against her face and she zones out. She goes into a trance too.
Cool. So there's a dagger flying at Ida as she's in a trance.
She breaks it. She blocks it.
Oh, she does block like, it. But she now blocks I'm alone. It. Alone.
Now you're alone. Alone.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, we're not thinking very straight right now. So she's probably going to take another second to like grab Ida and start trying to snap her out of it and bring her to attention, just lightly tapping her in the face. Ida. Ida.
It's not working.
No. Oh. And what's Nara doing now?
I think she's like calmed down now that there's no transcended people who are conscious. So I think she just crosses her legs in midair and you see her eyes. You know that white shining glow that came out of Ida's eyes? This is not that.
Gotcha.
This is a corrupted version, but her eyes do shine and it is like the red of a blood moon. And you start to see the people who are tranced, their eyes begin to glow red as well, including Ida.